hockey insider Pierre Maguire. Brought to you by the Old Orchard Pub. Five locations, with a sixth now open in Chattahoochee. And by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
Pierre, is PK Subban for Shea Weber a home run?
For who?
All right. You want to expand on that?
Well, you've got one player who was a second-round pick in 2003. You've got another player who was a second-round pick in 2007. So right from the start, you've got a major age disparity. That's number one. Number two, you've got one player that's got tremendously high miles on him and rough, hard miles versus a player that doesn't have nearly the same hard, rough miles just because of styles of play. Shea Weber's got far more in terms of hard miles on the odometer than PK Subban does. Shea Weber has been a fearless, unbelievable competitor throughout his entire NHL career, whereas PK has done all of those same things in terms of competing, but it's a different style of competing. So, you know, in terms of the tail of the tape, this one doesn't equate well for Montreal at all in terms of a long-term situation.
If you're going to do this for leadership, and by the way, Mark Bergevin, before he actually speaks live, in his statement, used the word leadership. So we know what that's, we know who that's directed at. He was talking about Weber, but we know more than that. And there is the significant age difference. You would have thought that there would be another element involved, even a high draft pick. No?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll give you a case in point. And we'll get back to Subban and Weber in just one second. This is just so people can grasp how some of these deals go down. The New Jersey Devils traded the fourth overall pick in the 2011 draft, Adam Larson, to the Edmonton Oilers for the first overall pick in 2010.
That's a home run.
Home run for both. Hockey trade for both.
That's a home run for your pal Ray Shero.
Yes.
That's a grand slam for Ray Shero.
We agree, but it also addresses a need in Edmonton. But we agree. But we agree on this, okay? I'm just going to show you how it happened. So, New Jersey doesn't get anything else back because virtually the ages are the same. They're the same. But in this one, Subban and Weber, not only are the ages not the same, the mileage on the tires aren't the same. And this is the problem. This is the problem to this deal. I asked my wife, who's my best friend, I said to her, Melanie, how do I talk about this on Montreal radio? Because I love Shea Weber, and I'm really friendly with PK Subban. And she gave me some of the best advice ever. It was really good advice. This is nothing against Shea Weber. This comes down to the ideology of how this deal went down and who made the deal. What was the mindset? And if it was because of leadership, if that's the sole reason why this deal was made, leadership is great. How is it going to manifest itself on the ice within the next 3 years? How is that going to manifest itself? Because I don't think it addresses five-on-five scoring. I don't think it addresses the lack of depth internally of the team on defense. It definitely doesn't address their lack of depth down the middle, up front. So how does this leadership manifest itself to making the team better? I know Canadiens fans have had a painful spring. They were a non-playoff team.
Pierre, I don't like this trade, but to be fair, and again, Mark Bergeron will speak in about an hour, one would assume strongly that there is a follow-up move here with the money saved on the salary cap with Weber at 7.8 and PK, I think, at 9.5. One would assume that they will address a glaring hole, and that is offense, a forward with some dynamic offensive capability.
Would you? I sure hope so. But then, so you can't really judge based on your theory, and I would cede you your theory. I think there's a lot of merit to it. But until you see what the incoming piece is, you really can't rule this a success for the Canadiens at this point. You can't. Maybe internally they are saying, you know, this is great for our team because now we've addressed the need for leadership. And Shea is a phenomenal, phenomenal leader. Phenomenal. I'm totally in agreement with that. Outstanding leader. But how is the leadership going to manifest itself when it's a team that's got some serious question marks to it?
So let me get back to the conversation we were having just before we left to see you in Buffalo, and that is, you know, where all this smoke is coming from. It's been the smoke has been smoldering since Mark Bergevin took over as general manager. There were serious conversations about Bergevin trading Subban at his first draft in Pittsburgh. Correct?
That's what I heard.
Yeah. And the issue with the bridge contract.
Mitch,
right?
I'm the only one that brought it up. You know it.
Yep.
And it was a terrible mistake. It was probably one of the worst mistakes they could have made. Do you mean to tell me that let's just use Seth Jones today. Seth Jones today signs a deal with Columbus. Seth Jones and PK, athletically, very similar. One guy's a little taller than the other. One guy's not as robust as the other when it comes to playing defense, but similar types. Can you read me his contract that he signed today?
It was 6 years at 32.4.
Okay, and so what? It's almost $5.5 million a year?
Correct.
Oh, okay. So you mean to tell me that the Canadians, this would have been 3 years ago, couldn't have done that same deal, which we talked about at the time, for less money? And save themselves tens of millions of dollars, and they wouldn't have had to trade this player?
Because they were trying to deal him. They weren't sold on him,
I
right?
I agree with you. So don't you think, I'm asking you that, don't you think the player signed long-term has more worth to your group at that age, having won it or about to win a Norris Trophy, in the hunt for the Norris Trophy? Don't you think a player signed long-term has more worth to your franchise?
Of course. I'm just.
And this is the problem. These are the questions that need to be asked.
So
because they fouled up big time on Ryan McDonough. Different management team fouled it up huge on Ryan McDonough. This one potentially won't look much better.
So you think Shea Weber is almost done?
No.
Or
no,
he's got two or three
that.
Years? But, well, because, you know, almost as bad as McDonough. That's a loadful right there, right?
That was a terrible trade.
No, there's no debate about that.
And no, but see, you have a lot of revisionist history. Historians here, here's the Shea is not done. The difference is, here's what he had around him: Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, Matthias Ekholm, Barrett Jackman, loaded on defense. Loaded. Montreal is not loaded on defense. They're not.
Most points by a defenseman in the National Hockey League for the last, 2012 through this past season. Number one, Erik Karlsson, 236 points.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, PK Subban at 202 points. Number three, Keith Yandel, 182. Number four, Chris Letang, 181. Number five, Shea Weber at 180. Let me ask you, but
it speaks to what I'm just telling you. The surrounding elements to that team, especially Roman Josi, who was his partner for a good portion of this time, tremendous defense, and Shea was a big part of it. So I'm not and nobody should take that away from him. He was the identity of the Nashville Predators.
Well, they're going to need a more mobile partner for Shea Weber than
Correct.
Andre Markov.
Correct. Roman Josi's as mobile as any defenseman in the league outside of Erik Karlsson.
And maybe that's where Cam Fowler comes in. I don't know. I'm just throwing
And maybe it is, but that still doesn't address your need at center.
Right.
And here's the one thing I'd be prepared to tell you. Phil Housley makes a big difference working with defensemen. Huge. The development of Ryan Ellis, the development of Roman Josi, the development when he was there of Seth Jones. Seth Jones was tremendously improved over time, even though I thought Seth Jones coming in was going to be a great player, and I still believe that. And the development of Matthias Ekholm, Phil Housley's fingerprints are all over that. He's the assistant coach in Nashville that works with their defense. I think PK's game just grows once he gets to Nashville.
He is so dynamic. So let me get back to building the case that to me and to others, it seemed obvious that we were headed to where we are today. And in addition to, not fully embracing PK when they took over, to not awarding him, not signing him to the bridge contract, to the stuff that started to come out late in a lost season that had everybody pointing their finger at him in the dressing room as if he was solely responsible or the main reason responsible for a team-wide collapse after Carey Price went down. We talked about it, right? Where there's smoke, There's an awful lot of smoke. When Michel Therrien comes in and outlaws the triple 05 celebration, saying we want our players to be humble, that was never going to work. That was a warning shot right there, wasn't it? In retrospect, that was a major warning shot that Michel Therrien, who openly dumped on PK when he was an analyst on L'Antichambre, on RDS, between jobs, that he wanted PK Subban to be a certain way in his view of what a winning hockey player should be. And that was diametrically opposed to the kind of personality that PK is. And now he's going to Nashville, where there's a coach who seems to embrace players' creativity offensively. Is that not correct?
No, I think that's more than fair. That's why you saw Ryan Johansson really surge when he got to Nashville. That's why you've seen – I know Philip Forsberg had a tough playoff, but during the regular season, Philip Forsberg was outstanding. No, I would agree with you wholeheartedly on everything you just said.
So let me get back specifically to Weber. Okay. Again, he's a solid guy, a captain. He won the Messier Leadership Award, which PK wasn't even nominated for. It was actually Weber.
I'm just telling you, when Mark Habscheid ran the Kelowna Rockets, he would always invite Gord Miller and I out there, and I'd go on the ice and run practices. And Shea was part of them. Duncan Keith was another player that was there. And I remember calling Ray Shiro up and just saying, Ray, you have a defenseman on here who was a second-round pick a year ago, and this guy's off the charts. Off the charts, how good he is. And the biggest thing about Shea is his leadership. So Mark Bergevin has right on that. I totally agree. Here, it's just, again, players have miles on them. They get beat down. You block shots, you play physical, you have to log a lot of minutes. He's played almost double the amount of games in the regular season than PK's played. Almost double.
Well, he's that four-year age difference, and he hasn't played, I don't know if he's played less than 25 minutes in a season since like 7 or 8 years ago. And on top of that, you know, 25 to 27 minutes, which is a strength. I'm not poo-pooing the fact that he plays those minutes, but to Pierre's point, these are hard minutes. Now, we won't know until they return to the playoffs and go deep into the playoffs and get to a Game 7, but you can't help but wonder a little bit. Aaron Ward, who played the position for a long time in the NHL, he said he's not as concerned what we saw down the stretch last year as some of us are, but that performance against San Jose kind of sticks out in Game 7, doesn't it, for Weber, how bad he was?
He struggled. He struggled that whole series. But, again, let's also throw one other thing in there. They're in the Western Conference. They're the furthest team east in the Western Conference. There are significant extra miles involved in that travel. That's something that doesn't get talked about enough. And you can talk to people that have gone from east to west, and they say, oh my gosh, I can't believe how hard it is in the west. And then you talk to guys who come from the west to the east, and they say, it's completely different. It's easier on your body. So he's already accumulated those western frequent flyer miles. Now he's coming east. Maybe that helped. Maybe
right.
That helps him. Maybe it does. But right now I can tell you that he is a player that will lead. He will be hard. He will be prepared. I just don't know how much mileage is left in the odometer.
He has scored 20 or more goals in a season, I think, three times. He's usually around 15, 16 in there. PK was down, of course, in that regard. You're talking about two of the greatest shots in the NHL. Does Weber have the best shot in the NHL?
It's right up there in terms of velocity. He was phenomenal at the All-Star game this year in Nashville. He really was, especially in the skills competition with the hardest shot. He was great. And he's just such a polite human being. He really is. Brent Burns has to be considered one of the better shooters for the back end for defensemen. He really does. I mean, Victor Hedman, I think, is starting to grow into that, and you'll see that over time. So Shea's title of being the hardest shooter obviously is very strong, but I think there are guys that are about to pass him.
Talk a little bit more. You talked about him being, in terms of his personality.
Oh,
Montrealers know the player. They don't know the man. Tell us more about the man.
Tremendous man. Really reserved, you know, humble and kind. I think you talk about a Nashville song. Tug McGraw has a great song, Humble and Kind, and that's what Shea Weber is. He's humble and he's extremely kind. A very good teammate, a proud professional. Somebody that will never cause problems for you, ever. He'll challenge guys in a nice kind of a way, if you can understand what I'm saying there. he'll because of the way he practices. He's so hard and so robust. But the biggest thing I can say about him is he is a true gentleman. He is an amazing gentleman. He really is.
How do you think PK's taken this? We'll find out in a few minutes. His conference call will be at 5:30, and we'll join it live, and hopefully everything works. But how do you think he's taken this move?
Probably shocked. You know, players that get traded for the first time, it's not easy. He had a real long career in Belleville, so he was locked and loaded there. He had an amazing run in Montreal. He's never been traded. So that's going to be different for him. It's the first time for some guys. It's not easy to deal with it. I would imagine that he's probably feeling a lot of weight off his shoulders right now, that he has a chance to move on, and all the people with all the rumors and all the innuendo can go away, and now he can just move on and go play hockey. I can tell you this, the folks in Nashville are thrilled to death, and that's not a knock on Shea, but I want to stress this too. That is not a knock on Shea Weber. But in order to get a player like PK Subban, you have to move another kind of asset, a very good asset. And that's why, you know, again, they were prepared to trade Shea Weber, who is an amazingly important part of that franchise, to get a player like PK.
While we've been chatting, Pierre, Mitch Gallo here has been monitoring David Poile's Meet the Media session in Nashville. Mitch?
Every game I've ever watched PK Subban, I mean, the guys will probably kid you in the hockey ops operation. They'll say that PK Subban is my favorite player. Like, I'm sitting there watching the game, and I'm going, did you see that? Did you see that? I mean, I'm a general manager, but someday I would like to be a fan. And this is the guy that I would pay money to see. I mean, he's exciting to watch. I mean, he does something every game. He competes every game. He shows up every game. And I think it's going to be dynamic.
Well, we agree.
That's David Poile right there.
We agree on that wholeheartedly. And again, he's not going to say it because he doesn't want it. It's kind of like you guys are all pumped up about Kirk Muller, and so am I. But I want to manage the expectation. I'm pumped up to see what PK Subban's going to be doing, being coached by Phil Housley. I really do. I think that's something that's way under the radar that probably hasn't been spoken about. But I've seen what Phil's done with defensemen, and he's done some miraculous work down there down in Nashville.
Well, actually, a wise man named Michael Farber, who was with us about an hour ago, did drop the coaching situation into the conversation, Pierre, and talked about how maybe here in Montreal it wasn't quite – they didn't quite have the right people to tap into PK and mold him into the kind of player they wanted him to be without taking away from who he is.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not going to say anything about other coaches in the league because I respect everybody that coaches in the league because it's a very difficult league to survive in. I'll just talk about the positive, what I see in terms of where PK is going now. And the positive is that I think Phil can leave a mark on him in a positive way. I really do. You know, I always dreamt, especially when I was talking to the Molson family about the potential of going there, I always dreamt what it would be like to see Larry Robinson work with PK Subban. I always thought of that. I just, you know, again, I saw what Larry did with guys like Colin White and what he did with guys like Kenny Danico and what he did with guys like Scott Stevens and what he did with guys like Brian Rafalski. Now he's still got a little bit of an impact on Mark Edward Vlasic out in San Jose. Just what he would do, Brent Burns, what he did with Brent Burns. I mean, I would like to have seen that. I always dreamt about that. I really did. I always dreamt about what Larry would be able to do with PK. It was something that I would fantasize about in my hockey dreams.
Defenseman, again, we gave you the most points by NHL defenseman, the top five guys, Carlson, Subban, Yandel, Letang, and Weber the last 5 years. When it comes to the power play, which has been an issue, right? Even with PK Subban, as great as PK is, and we love PK, but that power play has been an issue. They haven't been able to figure it out. It's one of the reasons Kirk Muller was brought in.
Yep.
Defensemen since the same 2012-2013 season through last year, PK Subban, 21 power play goals, Justin Falk, 22, Oliver Ekman, Larson, 30, Shea Weber, 34.
Yep, that's fair. He has one of the most – he doesn't score because he's fancy. He scores because he can shoot the puck right through the net. I saw it happen in the Olympics. He shot a puck. Everybody was incredulous. He shot the puck right through the net. That speaks to the velocity that he has on his shot. He did that in Vancouver.
Before we join the conference call for PK, which we're trying to tap into, right, Pierre, one more. What about PK Shea Weber as a defender in his own zone?
I think he'll be a little bit better suited for the East than the West because it won't be as much transition chances. In the West, it's a lot of transition chances. It's stretch and off the rush. I think in the East, it's more dump, it's chase, it's hit, and it's established small area games, and I think he'll play it better to that. I do. I think that's something that will help him coming to the East, playing in those kinds of situations.
Taylor Hall for Adam Larson. We touched on it. I think it's a grand slam for Ray Shero. Come on, you have to. No disrespect again to Adam Larson,
no.
But if Taylor Hall was being traded, you would have thought there would be more involved.
Well, Peter Chiarelli's traded Taylor Hall, and he's traded Tyler Seguin, 1 and 2 in the 10 draft.
And it obviously means Milan Lucic on Friday will be announced that he's signed with
Edmonton. I would be absolutely shocked if he's not an Edmonton Oiler. I think we talked about that yesterday.
And Stamkos remaining in Tampa, years, 68.
Again, I'm not surprised. Steven doesn't lie. And he kept telling me all the time, and that's why I kept relaying it to you. I really like my team. I think we got a great chance to win here. I really respect the management here. I really like the situation, the style of play. I really, really admire the owner. Again, did he take a little less money to stay there? Yeah, because he did the Tom Brady. He was smart. He realized if I want to stay on a really good team, I got to take a little bit less so that we can be cap compliant and we can keep young players. Very smart.
Unfinished business for the captain in Tampa.
Very smart. And again, I'm really happy for Steven. I'm thrilled to death for PK because now all this innuendo can get out the window and move on. He's going to be very good in Nashville for a long period of time. Shea Weber will come in and be very good for Montreal. He'll do some very good things there, and his leadership, as Mark Bergevin said, will be outstanding. And you can see the direction the Canadiens are going. You add Andrew Shaw, you trade Lars Eller, you add Shea Weber, you're bringing in more grit, you're bringing in more edge, you're bringing in guys that are tougher. The hole for the team, and this is what they need to address, they need to add more depth on defense, quality depth, but they need to add center ice play. Those are the two things now that should be on a shopping list.
Thanks, as always, Pierre. PK Subban conference call is coming up next. Hopefully we can pull this off technically, and hopefully we have something else to talk about tomorrow. Thank you.
Yeah, we had a lot today.
Thanks a lot.
Have a good one. Bye.